From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, October 10th. Coming up, school during the pandemic has been a unique challenge, especially for students with disabilities who receive accommodations. We'll learn more from Peter Medlin, coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. University of Illinois researchers published a new database last week on police use of force across the state. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the researchers found twice as many incidents as Illinois police previously reported.
While Illinois State Police reported using lethal force against civilians 39 times in 2020, the researchers found and verified 94 instances. Scott Althaus co-led the project and is the director of the Klein Center for Advanced Social Research at the University of Illinois. Althaus says police departments often have too little staff to keep data well.
Whether it's reporting crime report data or use of force data, many departments are simply not able to comply with the data requests. When we rely solely on administrative reporting by policing agencies, the picture that we get is incomplete.
The researchers use news reports and existing databases to compile a fuller picture of police shootings. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Illinois State Police has not yet returned our request for comments. The University of Illinois and Champaign Police Departments have made changes regarding who responds to calls in Campus Town and the greater Champaign area. University of Illinois Police Chief Alice Carey says university police will now be the primary responders to calls on Green Street near the university. Before, this area was patrolled primarily by Champaign Police. She says the changes will allow resources to be used more efficiently.
In our substation there on Green Street, we'll have their police officers out, community service officers, and then our security guards. So there's kind of a layered effect.
Carey says the changes should bring heightened safety to the area. Defense again led the way for the Illinois football team as they edged Iowa 9-6 Saturday night at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. The Illini have yet to allow a touchdown in four home games this season, and they held the Hawkeyes to just 52 yards rushing. Defensive lineman Johnny Newton says the largest home crowd of the season gave his team a boost.
The fans play a huge role. We had a big crowd out there today. So, I mean, they kept giving us momentum, just hyped us up, honestly. And as the game went on, we could feel Iowa just slowly shine down. We kept stopping the run. So once we stop the run, we know what we got to do in a pass game.
On offense, running back Chase Brown ran for more than 100 yards for the seventh straight game, extending his school record. The 5-1 Illini will host 4-1 Minnesota on Saturday at 11 a.m. for their annual homecoming game. Some wheelchair athletes with University of Illinois ties did well at yesterday's Chicago Marathon. U of I alum Susanna Scaroni came in first in the Chicago Marathon's women's wheelchair division with a time of 1 hour, 49 minutes, and 48 seconds. It was her first win in one of the six World Marathon majors. Fellow Illinois alum Tatiana McFadden was 2 seconds behind in second place, just missing her 10th Chicago Marathon title. U of I athlete Daniel Romanchuk finished second in the men's wheelchair division with a time of 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 13 seconds. That's just 2 seconds behind the winner, Marcel Hug of Switzerland. Romanchuk won the men's wheelchair division of the Chicago Marathon in 2018. Still to come, we'll look at how the COVID-19 pandemic has changed learning for students, especially those with disabilities who need accommodations. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. School during the pandemic has been a unique challenge, especially for students with disabilities who receive accommodations. Peter Medlin has more on some of the ways COVID-19 changed education for some students.
Mario McMinn's eyes start to burn by hour 5 of staring at screens. He's a high school sophomore who has a visual impairment but isn't blind. But when he and everyone else were forced to learn from home in 2020, it meant his whole day was looking at his iPad and computer.
Well, that was a struggle for me, because then when school was over, and then it's time to like actually do the homework that was assigned, which was also digital. My eyes were kind of fried at that point.
His vision teacher got him a tool that helped during remote learning, and he still uses today when he's back in person at school. It's a magnifying glass with a backlight around the size of a flashlight. In some classes, his vision doesn't affect him at all. But in, say, his computer science class, the magnifying glass is great for limiting strain to his eyes.
It was some form of like 3D modeling graphic. Like sometimes the print would be super small. Those kind of things don't really come in like larger print or whatever. So that definitely really helped me.
John Agusky was Mario's middle school vision teacher. She teaches kids who are blind or visually impaired from 3 years old all the way through eighth grade. Technology has been a game changer for her students over the past few years and during the pandemic. When it comes to intuitive accessibility, she says iPads have been a welcome change from clunky, expensive Braille or large print books that took forever to be made.
Prior to digital books, our students had to carry around these very large books that had their large print in it and or Braille, which are, you can't even carry a Braille book. There's no way to carry a Braille textbook in it all in its entirety.
Many of her students use a cane, and teaching mobility skills is crucial. One of her favorite activities was taking her students around downtown Chicago using public transportation. They went to Wrigley Field and tried cool restaurants, and all that was shut down during COVID. And that meant virtual mobility lessons like watching videos of her students practicing with their canes or working on cardinal directions.
Okay, where would you cross the street? How would you pick out landmarks in this area? So when you get to that area, oh, you know what? Here is the mailbox. I know that that means that the house I need to go to is right next door or whatever.
Dusky students are back in person now, and she's in constant communication with their parents and teachers. Sometimes a parent will call about broken glasses or a teacher who handed out an assignment without enlarging the font.
She came home crying today because she couldn't see her math. Or then we just do our magic and work with the teachers and make sure that we get everything done.
Back in person, they can also focus more on expanded core curriculum to help them with daily living skills like cooking. Matthew Murphy is the assistant principal of student services at Bartlett High School. He says things like cooking and intentional trips out into the community were a huge loss during the pandemic for many students. He says he feels like they did a great job finding creative solutions when moving instruction online in the early days of the pandemic, but there were challenges for students who received services.
How do we deliver physical therapy, occupational therapy? How do we deliver those services through an online platform? That is still one that we don't necessarily have a perfect answer.
A lot of times in those situations, they had to send materials to parents and try and coach them through it. Tracy King teaches elementary school students who have intellectual disabilities, many of whom are nonverbal and use wheelchairs. So much of her work involves guiding students hand over hand through writing or pressing down stamps. She sends lots of materials home, but so much of her students' school success learning online was dependent on if they had really good one-on-one parental support.
I had some parents that had three children, and the child in my room was their oldest, so they'd have to go back and forth between classrooms and kids. They couldn't just sit next to, you know, the student hand over hand every minute.
Back in person, safety is still King's top priority. One of her former students died of COVID, and some COVID protocols are still in place.
It is a major concern for me because a lot of them have pulmonary issues, and you know, this can turn into pneumonia.
They mask and don't share as many materials. They're also understaffed, so it takes exponentially longer to feed the students, reposition them for a new activity, or change diapers. Mario McMinn says he thinks all students who need accommodations or any kind of support could use some patience and help as school transitions back to quote-unquote normal. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny and warm today with a high of 76 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Emily Ritchie, Jim Meadows, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.